I'm guessing Melinda should join us at any time.
Yeah. This is Melinda.
Hi.
Hi, Melinda.
Hey, beautiful. Welcome to Saturday, and I appreciate you being here on a Saturday. Have you guys had a chance to, I don't know how long you've been connected before I connected. So you haven't met each other yet. I don't know if you've talked or not, but Jamie, this is Gabby. Gabby, this is Jamie. And hopefully by the end of this, you have a partnership with each other that is going to get its start today. So welcome to the call. Pardon me. I just sat down. I'm going to clear my head for just a second.
Okay.
So let me hear each of your voices just as we get started. This call, is, whether we're sharing it on a Saturday or a Tuesday, is always going to be slated for 90 minutes. It kind of takes that long in order for each one of you to have a turn. And the dynamics of the call is we will go back over whatever the information was that you could consume off of Teachable. Let's hit the high points there, and then we will come back and do some one-on-one coaching with whatever you either need more direction on or whatever you're curious about or whatever really touched you deeply and you want to go farther on. And there's a beautifulness that happens both in being willing to speak in this small of a group and in being able to then have some distance and listen and see that some of the things that you're experiencing are human, that another person is experiencing something similar. And it starts to kind of give you that first insight that, oh, this is not a Melinda problem. This is not a deficit personally. This is something that is true across human beings, and it makes those problems easier for us to look at. So let's get started just by saying a little bit about what you maybe consumed this week, what you're feeling as you come to this call would be a good place. Like, are you excited? Are you apprehensive? Are you doubtful? So give me maybe 2 or 3 minutes on where we're meeting you at this call today. So if you have a preference to go first, fine. If not, Gabby, maybe I'll get you to go first.
I feel excited. From when we last spoke, as you know, I'm ready to go deeper. So I'm always excited. Let's see. I was doing some self-inquiry on a lot of my feelings and thoughts. For example, I was taking a walk a couple of days ago and was thinking about how in the past I would... Well, a lot of things came up because I've gone through some of the material and everything. For example, one thing would be I have kind of shied away from being out socially with people because I'm afraid they won't like me because I'm overweight or because I don't love myself and I feel like I don't look good. So I won't go out and I won't meet with people because I'm embarrassed. I shy away from that. Also, another thing that came up for me was, for example, I have a retreat coming up, so I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have to hurry up and lose weight in a week to get there, so these people will be like, oh, my God, you know. And I'm noticing this is a recurring theme. It's a recurring pattern. Also, I would say, oh, God, you know, I really need to get rid of my belly. I really need to get rid of my belly, like, where am I getting rid of my belly, you know? Why would I want to get rid of it? So I would think more now turning it around and thanking my belly. I mean, if I have the birth of my son. I mean, my belly is a nurturer. There's so many beautiful qualities about the belly. So a lot of things have really come up since we've spoken last.
Good. Well, and that's so my in the words of one of my teachers, when you plant flowers, the first thing that comes up is the dirt. Mm-hmm. And so it makes total sense that just shining that awareness, you start to get a sense of, oh, I'm not crazy. there is a reason why I do this thing with food. There is a reason why I go in these circles, these repetitive circles. And you start to get that first little lingering of insight about it may not be helpful. It might not take you where you're going, but there is a reason that it happens. Okay, and Jamie, what about you? Where are we meeting you today?
So I, this whole week, Sunday through Friday, was at a conference, and it's a big conference for me that I go to every year, or I have for this my third year in a row, and I get to see a lot of people in the industry. It's a work-based conference. I get to see a lot of people in industry, a lot of people I only see once a year, and I spent a lot of time prepping for it because I was having some of those same kind of feelings and thoughts that Gabby was having about, like, I don't want to, you know, I've gained weight since last year and, you know, like, kind of not wanting, like, there was a part of me that was not wanting to, you know, see all these people. I was doing a lot of work on, you know, enjoying and experiencing the moment and not focusing on, you know, kind of the way I looked or how that made me feel. And I feel like it was a pretty good week. You know, I love a week. I get tons of hugs. I get more hugs that week than they do the entire rest of the year. And so I was pretty successful in not obsessing over it, right? You know, it was like, okay, you know what? Just go. And people like me for me, not for the way I look. And so I feel good and hopeful based off of that experience. But I also am coming in with a little bit of worry about balancing everything and making myself and this process a priority. Because you know, this week it was entirely consumed from, you know, from 7:30 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. It was go, go, go all week long with dinners and happy hours and events and speakers and all of those things. And I know that I have a lot of business travel, like, you know, every week for next month I have business travel scheduled, and so I do have some worry as well.
Okay. So again, what I hear there is when you're in the moment, when you're in that room, that's when magic happens for us sometimes. We are less in our head and more in our body. And you're in that room, and you see that people, you have their respect, you have their admiration, you have their kindness aimed at you. And while you're in that room, you are able to just be. And what happens a lot of times is then when we come back out, when we're back in the hotel room at night, when we're by ourselves or in that space just before we enter the room, that mean girl is talking to us 97 miles an hour. So that feeling that when you're in the room, when you're just in it, is where we're headed. So how do I get that feeling all of the time instead of just in these little snippets? How do I have that kind of self-confidence when I forget to check myself and just let myself be? How do I have that all the time? And the time issue is one that comes up often. Because we are not used to making ourselves a priority at all. And I'm going to offer just on faith, it'll become clear as we go through this, that that's a story, that there's no time for this. That's a story that mean girl is offering you as a self-protection. Because we get our hopes up. We see something new and we're like, maybe this is going to be the thing that works. This is going to be the thing. But we also kind of hedge our bets because we've been disappointed plenty of times before. So I would invite you to not pressure yourself. You're going to be able to get as much out of this as you can get, and it's the first round. So if all you walk away from out of this 8 weeks is just an awareness that there is a solution, that's a win. Because once the awareness happens, then curiosity comes in and all of the things that we are innately wired come in. So I would invite you to do two things, to find spaces where this will fit. And one of the things I did on the content that's coming up that will be posted tomorrow for next week is I've broken the video down into four separate pieces. so that they are 15 minutes long instead of an hour, so that you might be able to consume it in smaller chunks and be able to work through it instead of it being something that is, you know, where you really have to make a decision to sit down and entertain. Truly, if you just showed up to the call, you're going to get some value out of this. So I just invite you to give yourself a pass on putting too much pressure. The awareness will take you where you're going. It might take you a month longer to get there. It might take you however long, but really that's what I'm inviting you to do, is to let this process take as long as it takes so that you are truly different and weight becomes a non-issue because of the level that you're taking care of yourself. Okay? So if you've got, you need, as we get really into the meat of this call, hopefully you have something to drink, water, something close at hand, and you've got a pencil and paper and whatever worksheets you brought with you to the process. So if you need to step away long enough to kind of get yourself situated, we're just going to kind of go into a bubble of putting the world on the outside and giving this hour, hour and a half, strictly to unraveling some of the knots in our brains. Right. So I'm going to, if you've got, so you feel comfortable, you've got everything you need next to you, or do you need to step away for a minute or grab something?
Everybody's I'll be okay? Right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Who's still here?
Okay.
Okay, we're back? Okay.
Yes.
So if you, I want to start with just a minute. I've got a timer. So if you'll sit wherever you're at, make sure your feet are firmly planted on the ground. Close your eyes. We're just going to take 1 minute to shift gears. Okay. So stillness is one of the tools that I've learned to embrace through this process. And I remember at the beginning thinking, I don't have time for that. I'm not accomplishing all the things that are already on my list. How in the world am I going to be still? But the beautiful thing about your mind is it will follow you exactly wherever you point it. So I've started the timer, and for this minute, we're just going to invite your mind to shift gears, to let go of any judgment about whatever you might be willing to share, to be courageous enough to be vulnerable and to say what's true for you, even if it's scary or seems improper, and that we put a heightened attention on what's happening in your body for the time that we're spending together. So as you're telling me a story, as you're telling me about your mean girl, as we're talking about self-kindness, I want to invite you to pay attention. Are you feeling a tightening in your chest, a constriction in your throat, pain in your head, pain in your belly? Where are you experiencing the things, the emotions that are coming up in your body? Because that is our truest barometer of how to manage ourselves, how to worry less about measuring cups and portion size and more about what does this body need and how do I convince it to be my partner? How do I teach it to trust me so that I become one of those women who just takes really great care of herself? Okay, so just take just a minute, deepen your breath, feel how awkward it feels just to be still, how much your mind might want to wiggle away and do something else. Okay. I feel kind of a tingling all over my body. And even now, I still resist that process of being still, but there's something really transformative about it. Okay, so let's jump in and talk about self-kindness. This is kind of where I started. It's like, okay, so I heard people say to me, love the body you have. But I had no idea how to do that. The nuts and bolts of it. I had no idea what self-kindness was going to look like. And then I had the resistance of why would this body that I am kind of at war or odds with all the time, why would I want to be kind to it? If I'm kind to this body who has all of this extra weight, does that like mean I'm giving up? Like I'm saying that this body is the one I'm going to be stuck with forever? And so all of that kind of gets mixed up. And so what happens is we give to the rest of the world, we're this beautiful, kind person, and we think that all of that kindness and love that we're giving to the world is going to mean that they give back to us in return. And so we become overgivers. We're in that martyr space of, why do I give to everybody and nobody ever gives back to me? And I remember being so frustrated about why is this not resulting in me being loved more? Why are people pulling away from me? So self-kindness is really about being able to take that skill that you already have, the empathy that you feel for another person or the reason that you would show up when it's inconvenient to you or the reason you would give to someone else, and pointing it at your own person and going, what do I need? Okay, so for instance, Jamie, with your schedule as tight as you were describing, it's an interesting question to ask, like, what does my body need? When the world outside is this busy, does my body need that it doesn't have? Really, your physical body. Does it need stillness? Does it need straight up white noise time, downtime where there's nothing scheduled? Does it need X, Y, Z? And that's hard to figure out sometimes when we are so busy and there's no real space to hear the messages that you're getting from your body. The recording, if you got to listen to it, talked about why it is so hard, and it becomes about the definitions that we put on those words. So selfish, I talked about selfishness, self-centeredness, and the mother load of all judgment, high maintenance. Those are not words we normally want to associate with ourselves. But because we won't give to ourselves, we show up as this altered, less than optimal person. We're not getting enough sleep. We're not feeding ourselves enough to have the right kind of energy. And in our effort not to be selfish, we actually cheat the people that we are serving every day because they are living with this passive-aggressive, unhappy, self-judgmental version of us. And all of that is exacerbated and heightened by that mean girl voice, which is really kind of the meat of this section, that mean girl's voice that talks in your ear. So my mean girl is Bertha. That's the name of my great-great-grandmother, and she was a very severe person. She was born like in 1900, very pragmatic, very these are the rules, black and white thinking. And my inner mean girl was that regimented. So I'm wondering if you can tell me about your mean girl and what you know about her. What are the meanest things that you're willing to say out loud that she says to you? And when were you first aware of her? How long has she been with you? So tell me a little bit about the voice that talks to you every day. Okay, so Jane, let's let you go first this time.
Sure. So I think my mean girl is judgmental and has an expectation of perfection.
Yes. Perfection is a big piece of this. Yeah.
One of the probably biggest, most kind of prominent mean girl things that she says is around finding a partner.
Because
I'm 37 years old and I'm single.
Right.
And so I think she says that maybe I don't deserve one, or that I will never find one, or I certainly won't find one as long as she, you're certainly not going to find one as long as you're this fast.
Okay. All right. So can you feel the emotion that comes up in your body as you start talking about her? You feel, I can hear some in your voice. Okay, so I want you to just focus on that, the emotion that starts to build as you tell me about her. Okay?
So that's, I feel a lot of tightening and warmth in my chest.
Okay.
And in my face, like it's, my face is becoming warm.
Like flushed, like embarrassed?
Yes. I wouldn't say embarrassed. But it is that, yes, like that flush reaction, but it doesn't feel like it's from embarrassment.
Okay. It's just, you're in the spotlight. Are you able to speak in her voice? Okay, so for instance, my mean girl would say, you think, if she was speaking instead of me, she would say, you think people like you, but they're making fun of you behind your back. Like that lady you think that's such a good friendship, as soon as you turn around, she's making fun of how you look when you walk away. Are you able to speak in her voice the way she speaks to you? Like, how nasty or calculated is she? If not, that's fine. Okay. How often does she talk to you? Is it a constantness or is it situational? Is it only when you slow down?
It's situational when I slow down.
Okay. All right. And so what happens with most of us is that we believe that voice. And it's this wrestling where, like, I know that what she says is not all true, but what if it is? And it's this intellectualness that goes, I shouldn't believe her, but I do. And so it's intriguing. When do you think you first became aware of her? Like, how far back can you go, oh, yeah, she was with me then?
I can remember, like, in elementary school. You know,
oh, wow.
Kind of fourth, fifth grade time frame.
Okay.
Having, like, it was a birthday party, and I didn't have very many friends to invite.
Okay.
And I can remember her being nasty then.
Okay. And so what would she have said to you that day?
That you're not good enough. Look at you. You can't even make enough friends to have a real birthday party.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're stuck with whoever is left.
Oh. So your friends are going to be the leftovers.
Yes.
Okay. So think about a kid with your 37-year-old brain. Think about a fifth or sixth grader. At that age, she seems really smart, right? Because you're still trying to figure out how to navigate the world. You're somewhere right before all those hormones start flooding your body. And most humans want to fit in. They just want to assimilate. And when we don't, when we think that there's something wrong with us or we perceive that we're not assimilating, her voice comes not as something to beat the crap out of us, but as a protection. It's like, okay, so like your feelings are going to get really hurt. So let me just kind of give you the 411. Let me tell you what's going to happen, and then it's going to hurt. but it won't hurt as much if I tell you as if you discover it at your birthday party. And it's an innate defense mechanism that's meant to protect us that just goes off track somewhere in our late teens. By the time that we have the maturity and the knowledge to call bullshit on her, she's already set herself up as the strongest voice in the room. And the things that she says are, don't rock the boat, fit in. She's absolutely the reason why a lot of us don't have a voice. Because if you say what you really think, people aren't going to like you. Nobody likes that girl. If you're not thin, then you must not be sexy, because everything she knows means thin equals sexy, thin equals desire from men. Right? So it's born out of protection. So that was kind of my first, like, okay, so at least I understand why she's there. I still don't like the things that she says to me, and I don't know exactly what to do with her because I am having trouble breaking out of these big circles as long as she's talking to me. But she was born out of protection. Her deepest goal is to try to protect me, to try to protect you. Okay? Gabby, great, great work, Jenny, by the way. Being able to sit with that emotion and still speak is a skill that's going to serve you in this journey. Okay? Gabby, tell me about your inner mean girl.
Well, I can tell you honestly that I never saw that I had an inner mean girl in that sense. You know, from the story I shared with you from a very early age, I was in a high-level, traumatic, dangerous place. So my defenses were all up. So from this coming up now about talking about a mean girl, I mean, if there is a mean girl there, I know there's things coming out. Things, the way that I act sometimes, like being, I want to be like perfectionism, like Jamie mentioned, very strict, cold, controlling, hypervigilant. But per se as like a mean, like mean girl, inner mean girl talking to me, telling me like, oh my God, this and that, I'm unaware of that, if that is what's going on. So I can't relate to that in that sense.
So
does that make sense to you or not?
No, it totally does now that you say it. So is it okay for me to share with Jamie on the call some of the things that you shared with me?
Sure, of course.
Okay. So in your history, you have abuse, physical abuse, from the molestation and the rape that censures your mind to know that the world is never safe.
Right.
That you always have to be hypervigilant. So your mean girl is probably manifests a little differently. She's kind of like the eyes in the back of your head.
Yes.
That's always measuring what's safe and what's not safe. And the weight is, I'm surely connected to that. Like, okay, so it's not safe here. It's not. So she's talking to you constantly about the conditions around you and not drawing attention to yourself. So if you're perfect, then no one's looking at you, right? There's no reason for them to look at you. You can stay under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So her voice might be a little trickier because it seems like a higher, even higher level of self-protection. And after all these years, you trust her. Right.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me now that you're saying it that way. It's just a different aspect of looking at it, and it's more relatable to me in that sense, that the way that you have set it up for, which I can understand your way too. This resonates with me. The way that you're saying it now resonates with me. Yes.
Okay. I don't have that abuse in my history, so my mean girl does not have that
right.
Kind
oh
of
no, I totally
protection.
Understand. Yes.
Yeah. But if you think about that, if you're like being in a slasher movie 24/7, like your brain thinks there's constant danger, and so she is constantly on that lookout And so you get a little bit of maybe like a conspiracy theory feeling, like there's danger when maybe there's not. You know, what if she...
Yeah, because I have to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm looking at that.
It makes sense to me because I'm in a state of... Well, not anymore, but I was in a state of anxiety my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with everything that I've been through, and it's been a lot of harsh environments for me. So the defenses have always been up, and they are still up right now.
Right. So like the relationship that you have with your husband now that is good, she comes in and just keeps checking. She's like, I know you think you're safe, but are you really? I know you think mm-hmm. this is good, and he's different from the other ones, but are you really? And it's just kind of that constant checking in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And to make her be quiet, we eat, or we drink, or we sleep a whole lot, or some other behavior in order just to lower the noise in your brain. Okay? So how long, Janie said 5th or 6th grade, and the abuse happened to you really, really young. So how far back do you think you can...
I can't put anything far back, but I mean, my brother started molesting me when I was 5 years old. And then my dad left, and there was more abuse just than when I was 5 years old. And the thing is, my mother is deaf, and my brother is deaf. My brother's 7 years older than I am. But when my dad was at work, my brother would try to screw around with me, and my mother could never hear me when I was screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
When my dad left my mom and my brother was out of the house, I was about 11 or 12 years old, and my brother's friend from down the street, Beth, moved in with my mom and I, and she was a prostitute, and she would bring guys over. And my mom, it's bad. I mean,
right.
If you,
so,
you know.
Well, okay, so I bring that forward, because we could spend a good piece of time on how she talked to you then, but it's more helpful because you've dealt with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how does she talk to you today? So, like, you said a lot about isolating and not wanting to go out. So it's a retreat that you're fixing to go to.
Mm-hmm.
How do you expect that she's going to talk to you when you're there?
At the retreat?
Yeah. So is she going to be like, people are looking at me, I don't know why I'm here, what kind of value do I have?
Yeah, I feel insecure. Maybe people won't like me, or maybe I'm doing something the wrong way and it's not good enough, and then people won't approve of me.
Okay. So
right now I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to be there soon. I need to lose like 5 pounds just so I can look better so people will accept me, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's her voice today. So
mm-hmm.
play with that just for a minute. So why would they like you better 5 pounds lighter? Or why wouldn't they like you? What is she scared that they're not going to like you about?
Well, I think it's just a projection of my inner that I don't like myself and I don't love myself and I'm not embracing myself for who I am. And it's not really about the other people. It's all me.
Well, it's not. You're right about that. But that's your brain
mm-hmm.
talking. And this is the first time of many times that I'm gonna invite you to see that you're still in your brain and invite you to go to your body.
Okay.
So when you're packing the suitcase and your brain is doing all that stuff, because that's where she lives. They're not gonna like me, what is it that she knows about you that makes you unlikable? Like, why does she think you're going to have a problem fitting in? What is that message?
I don't know, but I'll have to think about that.
Okay. So it's something to pay attention to. It's like, okay, so mine might sound like I am going to be the fattest girl in this room. And I chose to wear red, and that's because it's my favorite color and it makes me feel good, but that's going to make me more visible. And they're going to see
that. That's it. That will make me more visible.
Yeah. So it's just that little bit of trash talk that you might. So another way to get in touch with it is to think about the crappy things you might say about another woman, because we've all done that at some point. We have hashed another woman when we see her in a room. That's, you know, dude, did she really, like, look in the mirror before she came in here? Did she think those shoes went with that dress? That kind of little crap talk is what the intermingled girl does to you.
I think the basis of this would be feeling like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough.
Right. So that sometimes feels like people are going to figure out that I'm a fraud. People are going to figure out that there's something wrong with me, and I'm trying to keep them from figuring that out. I'm not. So there's no right or wrong answer. You're just finding a lie and going, what is she really saying to me? And is it true? Is it true? Because that practice thought has been around so long. That's how practicing a thought. So if I said to you, I have blue eyes. I actually have brown eyes. If I said to my brain often enough, I have blue eyes, I have blue eyes, I have blue eyes, over and over and over, your brain, all brains, are hardwired for two things. They are hardwired for patterns, okay? So they're looking for repeats, things it recognizes and knows how to do well, and efficiency. Okay, so if it's got something, that's why you can, for instance, drive to work and not remember how you got there, because your brain gets those cues and goes on autopilot without telling you it's going on autopilot. So any thought that you've practiced over and over and over, your brain just takes off without you and goes, okay, yeah. So that's where we get into problems with diets. Whenever we go on a diet, we are changing our pattern. And so now we're eating whatever that looks like. We're counting Weight Watchers points. And we've got this new thing that we're focusing on. But your brain has all those old patterns about the way you eat. And the second that the focus goes away from dieting and goes on to a conference call or something else that you have that the world is taking you to, your brain goes, oh, I know what to do. And it does the thing that it's repetitively done. That practice thought is a big piece of why diets don't work. And so if we can identify those practice thoughts, the things that our brain thinks automatically, figure out where they came from. Okay, so in your case, Gabby, that comes from the unsafe environment that you grew up in. In Jamie's case, it comes from watching your pattern of knowing. One of the things Jamie said in that initial call was that the only time you really take care of yourself is when there is a man in the picture. And it goes back to whatever that practice thought is and thinks, again, that it's serving you. Look, I am doing the thing that you love doing most because you do it often, and I'm doing it, I'm saving energy. And your brain is like, ta-da! While you are really frustrated going, why does this keep happening to me? Okay? So tell me how you've tried, so Jamie, I'm going to come back to you. How have you tried to deal with that mean girl voice? Are you aware that it makes you eat or drink or do something disruptive, or do you just kind of mute her, or how do you interact with her?
So I don't think it's a direct awareness of, you know, hey, she's back, let me go do something, but I think I try to suppress it or numb myself from it. And that's where, particularly when, there's not a lot going on, I have time on my hands and I can choose to do something, and I'll get very uncomfortable with, you know, whether it's thoughts or emotions that come up, feelings that come up. And so I want to hide from those or numb those. And it can be, I may binge watch Netflix all weekend because then I'm distracted, or eating, or going out and saying, you know what, let's just go drink, and I'll go to the local bar because then I'll be around people and I won't have to think or feel through that stuff.
Yes. Okay. So she absolutely tries to separate you from emotion, right? All that playing safe, all the don't walk the boat, let me judge you before somebody else can. See, then the invitation is those emotions are going to be really painful, and so let's don't do that. And so, again, one of the things that you said to me during that initial conversation was when we talked about time, like what do you believe about time, you said that when there's too much of it, that's as big of a problem as when there's not enough. Like, what do I do when I have all this stillness? Yeah. Okay. So, in my case, I thought I could kill her or fire her. Like, I totally, like, once I became aware of her, I was like, okay, so, like, you're at the door. I am, now I can see what's happening and understand intellectually why you need to go away. And she's pretty resilient. She shows back up even when I don't want her to, even when I'm aware that I don't need her. And again, that's where kindness comes in, because she is so integrated with the way we think that just making her go away isn't an effective strategy. So we'll talk about a little bit about how to invite her to be a calmer voice inside of you. Gaddy, how do you, so I know you're still kind of getting in touch with what that is, but.
Well, what Jamie just explained is pretty much very similar to the way I feel. If anything would come up for me to be aware of, I would immediately replace it with something, either food or turn on the music or watching TV or doing something. And to me now, I'm kind of seeing it in a better picture. So that would not allow me to go deeper within whatever's going on, right?
Right, because you're distracting. And again, that's one of her mechanisms. It says, she's like, okay, so this is unsafe. That feeling you're starting to feel, that emotion that's starting to come up as you have some free time, ooh, danger. Let's go distract ourselves. Come over here. Let's go over here. Okay?
Right. Not being in touch with the emotion itself, just covering it up.
Yes. So she also has problems with you being kind to yourself, okay, because again, her message is that you're deficient somehow, and why would you spend any time on your own person? There's no value in that in her way of thinking. So think about times when you have kind of been on a self-care kick. Maybe you are trying to drink 8 glasses of water a day, or you are going back to the gym. Her voice is also there as you start taking care of yourself. Mine said things like, kind of in a making fun of yourself voice, like, you really think that's going to work? Or, this is too hard. Let's just go do something else. Again, it creates fear in her whenever you break the pattern that she is so attached to. So let's turn the conversation just a little bit, and let's talk about self-care, taking care of the body that you have right now. So we're always so focused on the body we're going to have when we lose weight. And that getting to that body, my offering, what I believe to be true, is completely dependent on taking care of the body that you have now so that you have a pattern for what that body's going to need when it's able to release the weight. Okay? So tell me a little bit about how well or not well you take care of yourself in relation to these 6 categories. So in the lecture and in the transcript, there are 6 areas that every human body needs in order to operate at the highest energy and vibrancy in the world. So the first one I list there is food, specifically fuel food. So how do you decide, if you were to go on a diet, how do you decide which diet? How do you know what your body uses for fuel? How do you know what foods it can't tolerate? Okay, so where are you around food? Is it totally ignore and you grab what you can? Or it is planned in pieces? What are your habits around food? The second one is water. Very, very, very often hunger is really one of two things, either underhydrated or sleep. So how do you take care of yourself in relation to water and to sleep? The fourth one is movement. And so I don't use exercise as a word here on purpose because it has a lot of triggers connected to it. But all bodies need to move. Atrophy, you see what happens if you were, for instance, had to be in traction or be in a bed for an extended period of time. Our bodies are meant to move. The fifth one is mind management. So we're kind of just taking the baby steps to that of knowing what you think and then deeper why you think that. And the final one is joy, which before I heard this work, I never heard anybody talk about. Joy, for those of us who have weight, is usually connected to food. And when then we try to take food away, our only source of joy is gone. Okay? So if you think about those six areas like an old stereo system that had slider buttons for an equalizer where you slide them up or down to get the sound that you want, some of those areas you might be really good at, other ones might be totally ignored. And we're looking for that balance of things that makes your body run like a BMW car instead of an old beater that we, you know, still start but backfires. Okay? So, Jamie, weigh in on how you kind of where you're at right now as far as self-care. And the areas that you either really excel at or the ones that you know you need to be paying more attention to?
So I don't know if I feel like I excel at any of them, but I think the stronger ones, the ones that I'm better at, are probably water and movement.
Okay. What do you think the biggest challenge is? What's the one that you need the most, but maybe avoid the most as well?
So I think fuel, food, and mind management.
Okay. So what are the challenges around food?
So food, normally, if I'm in a very rebellious state of, through you, I'm going to eat whatever I want, when I want, and no one can control me or tell me what to do.
Okay.
And so this idea of, like, then it means that everything is then a screw you. If I want a burger, I'm eating a burger.
Yeah.
You know, for every meal, right, for all the time. And that when I do think and say, you know what, I want to make a better choice here, I am making that choice in an intellectual space versus feeling what my body wants or needs. And
yes.
So if I think that a green smoothie or a high meal plate with a lot of green vegetables and is better than something that has rice and a green vegetable on it because, you know, that's where I believe intellectually nutrients are coming from, and therefore that's what I'm telling myself that's what I need to eat, and I'm doing that intellectually.
Intellectually, yes, yes, okay. And then mind management is, so you said that you had been exposed to Brooke's work for a while, so is that similar? Gaddy, Brooke is my teacher, and Jamie had been exposed to some of her ideas prior to finding me. So is mind management the same thing? Like intellectually I get it, but when I go to work the model and actually put it into practice, it kind of goes off the rails.
It is, yeah. And that intellectually I understand it and I know, you know, like I get the path, but I avoid emotions a lot. You know, kind of that process of growing up in a house where we just didn't really talk about feelings.
Right.
And there wasn't a way to express them. And so, you know, even just identifying them is very hard for me. So I really just, when they
right.
start to creep up, when I'm doing that mind work or whatever, and that then they start to creep up, I want to stop them. Nope, stop.
Yes. Makes you feel really kind of squirmy, like,
yes.
let me out of here. Yes. Okay. So let me show you two things there. The I'm going to eat whatever I want, that mindset, that's one of the ways that you are interacting with inner mean girl. Because she says you should be eating X, Y, Z. You're like, screw that, I'm going to eat whatever I want. That's part of that interaction, and it happens so instantaneously that you might not be aware of her voice. But any time, so think about that resistance that you feel in your body when you say, I'm going to eat whatever I want, screw you. So touch that feeling in your body. Can you tell me where you feel it? As you're going through the drive-thru and saying, screw you, I'm going to eat what I want.
I'm trying to put myself there.
Yeah. So maybe it feels like,
It's like winning. It's like a relief. Like
yeah. Okay. Excellent. So where do you feel that in your body? Because what I did a bit, trying that is like my shoulders went back, like my chest opened up. Like, yeah, I won. Like a little sneer on your face.
Yeah, and I feel relaxed. So it's like so if I think the alternative of being a little tense, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm I guess I'm going to have to order a salad.
Yes.
And kind of
yes.
feel this
yes.
tenseness.
Yes.
And then when I order the burger, I'm like, oh, that's,
okay.
you know,
yes.
let it out.
Okay.
Right?
So make some kind of a little note about that on the paper that you have in front of you. And we're going to do this over and over the time that we're together. You start to go, okay, so this is what it feels like in my body. So when I feel that tenseness, that great, I should have a salad, that tenseness, I know that the mean girl is present. She's there, and, okay, I'm going to remember that her highest aim is to protect me, not to nag me. And then when I eat the burger, that's me in resistance. That's me acting against what I really want because I'm frustrated, because I'm tired of hearing her voice. Right? So you start to you're getting those cues. Your body cues are there. We're just not used to looking for them. And so when we start to see them, then what will happen is I bet over this week between, well, we're going to talk on Tuesday, so maybe not in that space. And the next 7 days, you're going to see that pop up a time or two. And it's that awareness. You don't need to do anything other than just be aware that it's happening for your mind to start to shift. Like, oh, that's why I do that. That's why when I talk to myself all day long about how I'm going to be good with food, I end up eating the burger and then beating the crap out of myself for why did I give in. Okay. The other place that she's present is when she tries to distract you from emotions. So when you said my family doesn't really do emotions, we're not real demonstrative, she knows that. And in the space where you were growing up, she kept you safe and said, nope, Mom, they don't know how to do emotion. We don't do emotion stuff. It wasn't that you weren't having emotion. She just taught you that in order to fit in that place, you don't speak it. You put it away. And so, again, when emotions are coming up, think about and you hear that little voice in your head that says, we don't show emotion. Think about how that feels in your body. so that you recognize it when it shows up again. Okay, so that one might be a little harder to get in touch with, but again, awareness of just like I'm looking for that and I want to pay attention when it shows up. The reason I ask you about where you feel it in your body and what it feels like, so you can take the equivalent of a picture, a snapshot. And you can, when you go back and read whatever you've, in my case, I write them. Like my stomach was really tight, whatever. When I read that, I can instantly put myself back in that emotion again. Like I get really clear when it shows up what it is. Okay? So, do you have, when you think about taking care of yourself, if I said, okay, so what you're going to do for the next 6 months is your very first priority is going to be to take care of you, and then you get to work or do all the other things that you already do. Does that create panic in your brain? Is it like, I don't see how I could ever make that happen? What's the reaction to that?
It does. And I think the reason, so part of the reason is that I love my job and I get a lot of joy from that. And so that's where I'd like to pour my energy because I get that return.
Yes.
And so the idea of taking that and not having that as a priority anymore scares me because then I'm afraid that I won't be getting the joy out of it. I won't feel as good because I won't be accomplishing as much because if I put myself first, the only way to do that is to give less to my job.
Yeah, okay.
But that I can't do self-care and still give the same to my job.
Right. And that appears, the way your brain assimilates that or hears that information is if it is absolutely true. That there's no wiggle room, that's a black and white conversation, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to offer to you that that might be one of the things that changes during the time that we're together for this program. Right now, I would invite you to just ask yourself, what if that's not true? So we're going to talk a lot next week about stories and how stories trick us into not taking care of ourselves and why stories are so potent. So for now, just what if that weren't true? What if you could take care of yourself at the highest level and you didn't have to give up your job, the joy that's there? You didn't have to lose anything that you do now. You just now are able to take care of yourself at the level that's meant to happen. What if what you believe now isn't true? How would that change your day-to-day action with yourself?
So I feel much more hopeful about that, right? Like, so I think I would, if I knew, right, or if I believed that, hey, that maybe that's not true, I'm much more willing to experiment with that.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's try it. Let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and so that's, remember, one of the things that I shared with both of you on the initial call was this work is not just simple thought switching. It's not just someone saying, well, Jamie, that's ridiculous. That's not true. This is what's true, and inviting you to just switch. Because your mind believes what it knows. And so simple thought switching or mantras or affirmations work for a little while. But remember, your brain is hardwired for things it's seen before. And so as we go through, today all you need is awareness that might not be true. What if it's not true? And then over the time we're together, we'll continue to kind of look at that and go, why do I believe that? Where did that show up? What are my fears if it were to come true? And as you start to dig down, I want you to think about like a three-year-old asking you why. So the three-year-old says, well, why is the sky blue? Well, it's blue because, and we give them the first layer answer, and well, why is it So have you ever experienced that, the innocence of someone who doesn't know what to believe, asking why over and over? And as you answer them, sometimes you go, oh, yeah, no, maybe that's not true. So we're going to do that. We're just going to continue to ask why. Why do I? And when you find a place where you either see that it might not be true, or you, for instance, see a reason why you chose to believe that in the first place, that's where those shifts start to take place. And so that's 2 or 3 weeks down the road. But for today, I want you to entertain just what if you didn't have to give up anything and you could take better care of yourself at the same time. Okay? All right, Gabby, your turn. Fuel food, water, sleep, movement, mind management, and joy. Those are the 6 categories. How well or not well do you think you take care of yourself now, and where do you do well, and where is the one that needs the most work?
I think for me, the one that needs the most work would definitely be mind management and joy.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about each one of them.
Well, my mind... my thinking goes off and takes me to hell sometimes. So, and I'm not understanding the correlation between my thoughts and the patterns or anything like that. So that's
right.
Why that mind management comes up for me. And joy is, I mean, I've heard joy a lot of times, but have I ever really experienced joy? I mean, I don't know. I don't relate to joy.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that and why joy is important. Most of us connect joy to other people. So if I'm always struck by the fact, if I ask you, so like, tell me 5 things that are joyful for you. Most women are going to say their spouse, their kids, their church, and all of their joy is connected to something outside of themselves. So in order to have joy, they have to have another person cooperate. And that's not always easy to get. It kind of leaves us in this begging posture. Okay? So this is what I know about joy. Joy needs to be something that you can get all by yourself. Okay? So it needs to be, you need to be able to go and grab it anytime you need joy. It needs to be something that you can get without another person's cooperation. Pardon just a second. I'm going to cough. You need sources of joy that take less than 5 minutes, right? So we're already all so busy that if joy is a pedicure that's going to take you away for an hour, that's harder to get. Okay, so it needs to be something that you can get in little spurts and on your own. And we need 5, 6, 7 different sources. Because what's joyful today, if we only have 1 or 2 sources, we overuse them and they become less joyful over time.
So can you define joy for me? Because I don't know that definition.
Sure. So joy is anything that lights you up from the inside and that connects you back to your body. Okay? So I'll give you the things that I have here. So my list of joy things, very first thing ever you'll see, and you'll see it on a lot of the materials that you connect to my website or my Facebook page, the color red. Red lights me up. I use a red pen. If you were to walk in my house, you could almost draw a dot to dot from one red thing to another. For instance, the places that I sit repetitively in my house, in my recliner downstairs, in my office chair, and in my bed, with it, anytime I'm in one of those 3 places, I can see red. I have some object that's red that I can look at that's an instant jolt of joy for me. Books, I'm a huge reader. So, again, that's something that I can give myself easily. Candles, I love, love, love lighting up a room with candles and no other light. Tulips, You'll see a lot of tulips on anything that has my name associated with it. There's something so majestic about the delicateness of that flower and the tenacity of the way it can blow in the wind without the petals blowing away. Pictures. So if you, when you look at the next videos, when you look at any of the videos on the Teachable site, if you look over my shoulder to the corner, there's a picture of me and my daughter. She's fixing to be 22. And it was a random selfie taken on a cell phone that when I, first of all, she was like 16, and inviting me to be in a selfie was a big deal. And when I looked at that picture, my eyes are alive in the picture. And so it sits right here in my office. I walk past it, I don't know, 50 times a day. And I catch that glimpse of myself, vibrant self, and her beautiful smile. So it's like just getting an injection. You sprinkle them all over your world so that when things feel heavy or you've had a bad conference call or a fight with your husband or you're just feeling like, when is there ever going to be time for me, there's that little jolt of joy. Okay. Joy is also connected to gratitude. So in the worksheets that were underneath this this lesson, there was a gratitude practice there, accomplishment practice. So I don't know if you have one already, but that's something to ponder because gratitude drives joy. Okay. So what are the, if I said what is something that's joyful to you that's not food, and meet that criteria. Do you have any idea what might be on your list?
I do now, because now that you're saying it that way, I definitely can relate. So I love to read. I love music. I love candles. I love spa baths. I love going and learning new things with my training that I do with my energy practice. And I go out of town for that on a regular basis. There's a lot of things that bring me joy then.
Right. So you want to put those all over your world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my clients she's in her 60s, and she was a teacher, a first grade teacher. That's what she did as a career. But she's retired now. And we were talking about this, and I was talking about books, and she said, you know, I haven't read a nonfiction book in years. And I was like, so why? And she said, well, there was never time. I was always reading professionally to stay, you know, abreast of things I needed, and there was no time for that. And it was like, yeah, but now you're retired. And it was like this beautiful light bulb came on. Like, oh, I can read just for pleasure. And so she put a book near her chair where she sat in the living room, a book near the bed, a book out on the patio. And it's like she discovered this whole new thing that she always had permission to do, except that she didn't give herself permission. Right. So
right.
It's a connection to yourself. It is selfish in a form. I mean, my husband could care less about all the red. Maybe he hates all the red. I don't know. But it means something to me. It's there because I love it. It's there because it gives me a jolt. Okay. So it's that like first toe dip into doing something that has meaning just to you, and that being okay.
Right. And I'm pretty sure you noticed, but I'm noticing everything on the list I understand but joy, which is a feeling.
Yes.
So, and I know that I'm not, like Jamie has mentioned, there was no feelings in my household, that's for sure. You know, and so I have a very, very, very hard time relating to feelings. And we talked about that on our last phone conversations. And it's coming up more and more. So I'm just paying attention to that.
So does feeling joy on purpose, going out and seeking it on purpose, does that feel unsafe?
It feels like I should not do that.
Because?
Like, I wouldn't go and do that purposefully because, I don't know, it's bad. I shouldn't be doing that. It's not for me to do that. Yeah, it's more of this worthy thing again, the theme of unworthiness and you know.
So that's your mean girl.
Okay.
That's your mean girl whispering like, yeah, you're not worthy of that. That all sounds good, but that's for other people.
See, but if I were to think something like that, for example, I wouldn't hear her say like, oh, you're unworthy, or no, you can't do that. I just have a feeling in my body like, you know, it's weird because I'm really connected to my body in a sense, but I'm not connected to the feelings. Does that make sense to you?
Well, no. It actually, I think it's what will make you and Janie really interesting to each other, because you are more in touch with your body, and so you hear all of this information completely differently than she does, but they're mirrors of each other, right? So anytime that you are aware of that body message of I'm not safe or that's not for me, why would I do that? I'm not worthy of that. Okay? That is driven, even though you feel it in your body, that feeling, any feeling, a physical sensation is driven by something that you think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So go back to the beginning of this phone call. When Janie spoke the first time and you heard a little bit of catch in her voice, you heard the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't doing anything except, pardon just a second. She wasn't doing anything. She was telling us what's in her head. Her thoughts brought that emotion to the surface. So anytime you are feeling something in your body that says, I'm not worthy of that, it is driven by something that you're thinking. You are just happen to be more in touch with the body feeling than you are with the thought.
Right.
Okay? And they'll both take us to the same place, and it's figuring out what can you tap into, what are you aware of as a place to get a foothold to figure out the other pieces.
And I'm still not understanding quite yet how, you know, but I'm trusting that, of course, this is going to unfold the way it's supposed to. And, you know, so I'm trusting in that.
Process. So this is a lot of information in a short space.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is you want to be open and you want to take the parts you can and know that we're going to always circle back and pick up the pieces that didn't land.
And I'm really thinking about, I saw your video and you have your little book. What's it called? And your daily accomplishment tracker?
Yes.
So I'm thinking about having a journal so I can track my thoughts and feelings and start really like paying attention to that. I think that would help me become more aware of the relationship with each other.
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about those two tools as we kind of come around to completing the full circle of our conversation. So, Janie, did you have a chance to look at either the self-appreciation worksheet or the daily accomplishment tracker? I don't know how much you got to consume.
I did. I've gone through them all.
Okay. So, let's start with the self-appreciation. That was the hardest exercise in this piece of work because we're not used to appreciating things about ourselves. Okay, so I think I asked you to list 12. How many were you able to come up with? Janie, how many were you able to list?
So I was able to do 12. I kind of naturally got to about 7 and then had to really work through the last 5.
Okay, and Gabby, how many did you get?
12.
Okay, so are you willing to share them with each other?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Janie, we're gonna listen to you. So read down the list.
Okay. I am crazy, wicked, smart.
Mm.
I am I'm a constant learner, actively seeking to be better.
Okay.
I am quick-witted and funny and make other people laugh.
Mm.
I am fun to be around.
Okay.
I am good at planning and use that to bring people together.
Okay.
I love giving experiences to my family they otherwise would never have.
Mm. Okay.
I genuinely care about people.
Okay.
I am emotional, which helps me be empathetic with others.
Mm-hmm.
I have this amazing talent of absorbing large amounts of information and packaging it to make it easier for other people.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I follow through on my commitments. I stick with things to the end. I follow through on my commitments.
Okay.
I am physically strong. My body is built for strength. And
okay.
I am ambitious and go after my goals.
Okay. So, first of all, I want to applaud you being able to do 12. This is usually a really stumper. So the fact that you got 12 and that they're all about you, things that are just you, is great work. Okay? Now, I want you to go back and look at a couple of them in reference to something you said earlier when you said, I'm going to be really busy and I don't know if I have time to do this program. I don't know if I have time to give to myself this way. So look at some of those things in reference to that. So you said, I have the ability to take large amounts of information and assimilate them. So that's one thing mm-hmm. that would challenge whether or not you have the ability to do this program. You said, I follow through on my commitment. Okay. So there's a couple of things there that would say maybe your brain is wrong when it says you don't have time for this.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. What so the way that I would invite you to use this tool is to put it somewhere where you will read it often. So if you've got a workspace at home, put it up on the wall where your eyes run across it every so often. Maybe you put it in your routine so that you read it at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. This is food. These are thoughts that you want your brain to practice. So the fact that you could write them on paper means your brain already believes all of them on some level. But if you believe them more deeply, what if they replaced one of those things that says, I don't know how to take care of myself, or I'm not valuable. I don't have the time to do this. Okay, that's the power of this kind of thought. Okay, so beautiful that you were able to get that and that you know those things about yourself. How did it feel as you were writing this? So you said you got through 7 and then had the power of the other 5.
I think that I struggled a little bit in getting into an intellectual space at times.
Yeah.
And so because of that, sometimes, like, it felt like I followed through on my commitment, right? Like, I got to get this done. I got to get to 12.
Oh, okay. That's a perfect thing, right? You're writing this beautiful thing about yourself, and your mean girl comes in, and she goes, oh, yeah, do you really? Well, what about that thing?
I think there were a couple of times where I was kind of like, is this really genuine? Am I really? I was questioning myself at times when I was writing it. Is that really true? Or you just, you know, maybe is that a stretch to get to 12?
Yeah. So again, there she's offering you doubt, right? She's like, is that really who you are? Is that? But if you get still, so the way to know the answer to that question is to get still and go, am I a person who can assimilate large pieces of information and make them? Your gut will tell you. And as a gut response, are you a person who follows through on their commitments?
Yes.
That's where we're going. That doesn't mean that you execute every time or that you're perfect or whatever. But as a way that you operate in the world, when you make a commitment, your intention is to follow through on it. Your habit is to follow through on it. Okay?
Yes.
So when we do something like this, it kind of feels like bragging on ourselves. or being full of ourselves. And that's another emotion that she's really uncomfortable with. Like, don't build yourself up too much, because then when you don't deliver, then they're going to have another reason to make fun of you. Okay? So you start to see how she shows up, and it's very subtle. But she's kind of always there. Okay? So this is another one of those documents we're going to do again at the end. To look at the things that you might discover about yourself between now and our end date. All right, Gabby, you want to read yours?
Yes, except Jamie sounded so pretty. Sounds really simple. Okay, I just like wrote down, generous, I'm loyal, honest, trustworthy, witty, intelligent, courageous, brave, and strong, helpful, a seeker, willing to go deeper. I have a lot of integrity. I'm very attuned to nature and a very business-minded woman.
Okay. So that voice that says you're not worthy, it doesn't know all these things about you, because that person seems pretty worthy. Okay. It's an exercise So the other thing I want you to point out to you that just happened there. As your mean girl said, mine is not as good as hers. I need to shrink a little bit,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, that's a story. I'm offering to you that maybe that's not true.
Oh, I totally, right? Yeah, I saw that as soon as I said it, you know, being aware.
Yeah, and so you're going to catch yourself like that over and over. You're going to go, oh, wait, that's a story. I don't know. I don't think that's true. And so
it's a comparison, and it's like Jamie wrote hers the way she was more expressive and creative the way that she did hers, and mine was just like boom, loyal, honest, trustworthy. So I'm minimizing, you know, I'm comparing myself.
She must be better, right?
Mm-hmm.
She must be right. She did hers in Jamie's style. You did yours in Gabby's style.
Right.
If we were all the same, how boring would that be? But somehow we think there's something else. But so go back to parts of what we've talked about already. That voice, that inner voice, has set herself up as the authority. And every time you catch something, you're going, wait, that might not be true. Or like, why do I believe that? I have this other evidence. She receives as the authority, and you, the grown woman, gets to be a little more of the authority. You partner with your body. Just so like I said, Jamie, if you just check your gut, what does your gut say? That's the start of building a partnership with your body, so that all of your wisdom, your 37, your 40, I forget, your
exactly, I'll be 44.
44-year-old wisdom and your current body become the partner. They become the authority on what's good for you today. Okay, so again, I'm inviting you to put that up somewhere where you'll see it often, and that you can remind yourself, oh, yeah, look at all these things that I have. Look at all these things that make me the person I am in the world. Okay? And then the final tool is the daily intention, accomplishment tracker. And I actually came across this tool in a business program. As I was building this small business, you can see clearly all of the things that you don't know how to do or trying to figure out how to do, all the challenges. And you assume that you must not be accomplishing anything. Like, I'm never going to get there. And so I was totally intrigued by this. So the teacher that taught me this tool said, you accomplish things every day. You just are so, your brain is so used to focusing on what didn't get done. But again, once you put a shine of light on what you are doing and the skills that you're using to do them, you feel that power come back into your body like, oh, yes, I did. Okay? So is that something, were you able to fill that tool out as well, or is it good to be done list yet? The daily accomplishments.
I feel
I haven't done it yet.
Okay. I'm sorry, who was that speaking said? I didn't do it yet.
Jamie.
Jamie, okay. Gabby, do you have something written down?
Yes.
Okay, so let's listen to yours.
So it's going to sound like I stole some from yours, and I didn't, because it's exactly what happened yesterday. So
that's a story.
Okay,
just recognize that's a story that it's offering. It's okay. We're just going to walk it past by. Okay.
The
accomplishment was?
Accomplishment was I cooked a luscious soup for lunch, and the reason was I love cooking and creating new dishes.
Okay.
And the skill is honoring and respecting that I am creative.
Okay, so let's break the skill down a little bit. So creativity, so the skills are usually going to be one word.
Okay.
So creativity, accountability could be in there, like I promised myself I was going to do it, and I did. Honoring, and I'm looking for one word for that. So honoring your body could be something like partnership. Authenticity.
Say, Jamie?
Yes.
Which one?
Authenticity.
Authenticity yourself.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. Good. What's the second accomplishment?
I took my dog to the dog park. Took my dog to the dog
park.
Okay.
I took my dog to the dog park, yes.
Okay.
And for a reason I put, it's important for her and I to socialize with others, which the dogs and the owners, and to move. Like, not exercise, but we're out, we're active.
Right.
So that.
Right. Yeah.
And the skill I put is bonding, and I don't know if that's really a skill.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I would add to that mind. I would add mind management, because I know any time that I get out like that, my mind has a chance just to unwind.
Mm-hmm.
I would put vulnerability, because you are putting yourself out to interact with other humans. I would add maybe commitment, like I said I was going to do this and I showed up and did it. Joy is probably in there somewhere.
Yes.
Okay. So there's no right or wrong answers to this. It's what you notice about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's the third one?
Oh, I said yes to an invitation to lunch with friends.
Okay.
Which I don't normally do. The reason was I don't get out much because I'm insecure.
That's the reason. Okay. So let's work on that reason.
Okay.
The reason that you said yes was why? Just if you were telling me, like, I don't usually go, but I said yes because.
Because I want to get out of my comfort zone.
Okay. So the reason is I am in a growth spurt and trying new things.
Okay.
Or I am looking to break an old habit.
Okay.
Your brain, so think about, you're literally feeding your brain with this tool. So you're looking to give it the positive side of whatever's happening. So I've been reading this brain on neuroscience, and as they measure brains, as they actually put probes on brains and then show you different prompts or introduce you to information, they're measuring your brain waves. And one of the things that they are beginning to discover is that your brain does not hear the word not. So if you say, for instance, I'm not interested, your brain does not hear the word not. So it hears I'm interested. So if you read me back the sentence the way you had it written, read it to me one more time.
I don't get out much because I'm insecure.
Yeah. So I get so take the negative out of that. It's a subtle difference, but you want to, and you don't want to feed your brain that you're insecure. We know that.
Right.
But insecurity doesn't feel like an accomplishment. Your brain, it doesn't do that.
That's so well. True. That's true. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what are the skills?
Living in the moment, vulnerability, and community.
Yes. Okay. How did it feel to write it?
Scary.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And scary. We want to minimize, right? We're like, okay, so big deal. But that after you do this for a week, if you went back and just made a list, a long-running list of just the skills, then you start to get impressed with yourself. It's like, oh, look, I do have some skills. I do have some skills to make life different, to make life the way I want it instead of just allowing what shows up. That's the powerful part. It also makes you see that you are at cause in the things that are happening to you and not at the mercy of whatever comes along. Okay? So, Jamie, I know you don't have anything written, but let's just verbally play with that. So we're looking for, in the last 24 hours, something that you accomplished. Personal work, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it was an accomplishment.
Well, I watched the videos and did the worksheets this morning.
Yay. Okay. Good. So the reason that was important was?
Because I wanted to invest in myself and give myself an opportunity for self-care.
Awesome. Okay. And the skill that you used in order to do that?
Reflection, learning, self-care.
Okay. Time management's going to come in there. Prioritizing. Okay. Tenacity and resilience. Two of my favorite words. So you, on some level, if this has been making time for that, it's been in your mind all week while you were at your event, trying to figure out where I can make this fit in. Am I going to have time? And somewhere you found both the tenacity, meaning I'm going to keep looking for solutions, and the resilience. That's keeping the passion and the excitement connected to something that you thought you weren't going to be able to do come in there. Okay?
Okay.
Find another. What did you give me another accomplishment? See if we can get three.
My colleague and I had a debrief about the conference, and we were able to really share and express our experiences.
Okay. The reason that's important?
The reason it's important is because I want to translate the conference into benefits for other people, for the people that I serve.
Yay. Okay. All right. So that goes back to that self-appreciation, right? You have the ability to take big pieces of information and make them, translate them for others to be able to ingest. Okay. And the skill that you had to use in order to have that meeting with her?
So prioritization again, communication, and listening.
Listening, I like.
The skill of that skill of taking information.
Okay.
And service. Because I was focused on finding the ways that it could help others.
Okay. So I like the service a lot, and I'm going to invite you to look at that the same way as the kindness. You completely understand service to other people. You see the value in it. And so one of the things that is on the table for you to engage during the time that we're together is pointing that service at yourself. So you did that by making time to consume the information this morning and by being on the call and completely immersing yourself in this phone call. That's pointing service at yourself. And you have proof that you know how to do service because of things like this meeting with your colleague. That's how these tools start to enmesh with each other. Okay? Can you grab one more?
So I took time to watch a YouTube video from one of my favorite speakers.
Okay. And the reason that's important?
The reason that is important is because it's inspirational and it's ways that to fuel kind of my mind and it kind of really help keep me fueled.
Okay, so it was a recharge.
Yes.
For you. Okay. All right. And so the skills that you used in order to make time for that?
Opening up or being, I don't know how to describe that, like being more being open.
Okay.
These ideas
so
that
you were
sharing.
Receptive. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Focus.
Okay. I like that.
And taking time for me.
Okay. Yes. So, again, that comes back to self-care, to know that there's a value to doing something that's not work-related, that's not related to busyness, that is strictly for you. Okay? So that would fit under, if you think about the conversation that we've had today, you kind of do know how to do self-care. You also know how to do joy because that video falls under both of those. And you want to notice those as well, just like I'm telling you, inviting you to notice the body feelings, the sensations. When you find proof that you already know how to do some of these things, you want to point that out to your brain. Like, oh, I haven't been taking really good care of myself, but I do know how. I do have evidence that I know how. Okay? Your brain is looking for the biggest stack of evidence. And we're looking to build to that tipping point where the evidence that you do have these new skills is heavier, more weighty than the evidence of how you operated in the past. Because your brain will follow whichever evidence has more weight. Okay? So you know how to do joy. You know how to do self-care. I love that. Okay, so if you can, do either one of you currently have a gratitude practice? Do you journal or do you have anything that
would
mean
a daily
gratitude
basis?
Practice?
No, not like I would want to.
No.
Okay, Jamie? No. Just when you hear that mentioned, does it feel like busy work or does it feel intriguing or feels like it's hard to do?
Betty? Feels like half. In between both of those.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Jamie?
So definitely intriguing, but a little bit burdensome of one more thing.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So I'm planting ideas right now, and I want to invite you, not to overwhelm your brain. You're going to take as much away as you can, but if it feels like judgment or busyness or it's like, I don't even want to do this whole thing, this is like too hard, that's not what we're going for. So gratitude practice might look, so mine is, I write three cards a day. I don't know if I shared my picture with you or not, but I have some little business card size blank cards and I write three cards a day. I am grateful for XYZ, whatever that is. Gratitude could look like noticing nature when you're in the park with the dog, Gabby, It could look like taking a picture every day of something that when you saw the picture would make you smile. It could look like 1 minute of silence when you first get in the car before you start your commute home. It could look like sending one text a week out to somebody that you love, just kind of an unexpected, no reason text. Gratitude can have 1,000 different flavors, but it is completely connected to joy and to self-care. So I just want you to be open to what might present itself. Okay, I kind of like the idea of gratitude practice. I have no idea what that would look like, but I'm going to like be aware of opportunities that might come past. Okay? And just see what shows up. It doesn't need to take a lot of time. It doesn't need to be heavy, but it does need, if you decide to embrace it, it's something that we fit into our routine. So, for instance, mine, it's the very first thing I do when I sit at my desk. It kind of puts my mind in that same place as that first minute that we shared together, where you're like, okay, I'm going to shift gears on purpose and go to gratitude. Okay. The last thing before we get ready to let go of each other is in an email that I sent you yesterday, there was a YouTube video of the backwards bicycle. Either one of you have a chance to look at that?
No.
No?
Okay, I have seen it before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Debbie, if you go take a look at that, I think it's 7 or 8 minutes, but it's the best example I've seen of the mechanics of your brain being able to change, of the not even all this thought work and intellectualism, the actual nuts and bolts of your brain learning something new. And so if you haven't taken a look at that, take a look at that. It kind of proves. It proved to me the ability to let go of things that I had been the way I knew to be in the world for 50 years. That I really
also
could
awesome.
Be different. Yeah. So the short version of that is they create a bicycle that the handlebars go the opposite way that you're used to. So when you turn the handlebars to the left, the wheel goes to the right. And when you turn the handlebars to the right, the wheel goes to the left. And so your brain rides a bicycle automatically, the things that it knows, the things that it does without your input. And it takes him months to learn to ride this bicycle, but all of a sudden he can ride it. And once he can ride the backwards bicycle, then when he comes back to ride a traditional bicycle, he can't ride it anymore. His brain has reprogrammed to ride it the other way. And then he takes it a step further and has his little son, like less than 10 years old, and where it took the adult months to learn how to do it, it took the kid a couple of days. But his mind is less programmed. It was really intriguing to me. So if you haven't watched it, I invite you to find the 7 minutes to invest in that. Questions about anything that we've covered that are there now. Of course, you've got access to me with in-between calls to ask questions, but any question right now that's in your mind that you want to ask?
I do. I'm going to start a journal, like I was mentioning earlier, and also in the journal doing the accomplishments, the gratitude. Well, doing all of this that I want to do, is that going to help me to retrain my brain?
Yes, because any kind of, okay, for a couple of reasons. First, it connects you back to your body. It is purposely slowing you down to come back to hear that intuition that is hardwired in your body. Second, it acts as a vent. So all of that stuff that gets built up in your body that feels like pressure that you would normally medicate with food, writing gives that an escape hatch. So it's a way to relieve pressure out of your brain. And it's also a way to look at, to see patterns. So, for instance, if I look back at any given date, I've been doing this accomplishment tool for about 7 months, and I'll go through periods where I'll see the same words over and over. Like for a good space, courage showed up over and over and over. The word that is showing up for me now is discernment. And so you'll see patterns as you grow and kind of get onto yourself and some of your thinking. So however much you're able to give to that, what you want to be aware of, the hurdle or the pitfall there, is if it starts to feel anything like any diet you've done in the past, if journaling starts to feel like dieting, like you're coercing yourself, you're bargaining with yourself, you're cheating, you're any of those diet kind of behaviors, then your mind is taking you to a place where you will stop, same way we quit diets, same way we give up on something that was going to work that didn't. And then our mind will go, well, see, that didn't work either. So if it starts to feel like heavy and obligation, then we can look at those thoughts, but the tool doesn't serve you if it takes you back to that same old thinking.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, a couple things I know about the writing. I write and I almost never go back and look at it. It's meant to be an in-the-moment process to let out of my brain whatever's there. So you're not writing for something that's you're going to go back and read 6 months from now. You need to be able to write in a space where you're not worried about somebody else reading it, right? So you're not censoring yourself as you write, because what if somebody else sees it? And it doesn't matter how much you write. It matters much more that you do it than the quality or the volume of what you write.
With no judgment attached to it.
With no judgment attached. It's just the way you think. And whether you judge it or not, it's still the way you think. And so curiosity replaces judgment. Like, why do I think that? Why? Why? I know other people who don't think that way. Why do I think that way? Because there is a cause. It may take you a while to get to the cause, but there is a reason why you think the way you do. It's not an accident. Okay. Other questions?
I actually had a question about the relationship with the inner mean girl or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so when you said that you named her, right?
Yes.
Your great-grandmother. So like that, so I immediately got a vision of my grandmother Ruth Ann. And Ruth Ann was judgmental, and she was nagging. She disapproved of something you were doing all the time. She was gossipy, and goodness knows she knew better than everybody else about everything.
Yep.
Right? That is just who she was, right? And it wasn't out of a mean place as much as that's just who she was and whatever.
That's who she was.
And,
right.
Yeah. And so, she's my grandmother. Of course I loved her, and I know she loved me, right? But
right.
I learned pretty early on that you didn't take anything personal. Don't listen to it. Don't take it personal, because that's just Ruth Ann. That's not really a reflection on me.
Yeah.
And so it was almost like, I grew up in the South, right, in Georgia. And so it was almost like, you know, the whole bless her heart thing. Like, oh, Ruth
bless
Ann,
her heart.
She just can't help herself. Or, oh, Ruth Ann, bless her heart. She just thinks that she knows better than everybody. Oh, Ruth Ann, bless her heart. She just can't ever be satisfied. She's always got to find something that she's not happy about, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I had this immediate vision of wanting to, like, interact that way with my inner mean girl.
Yes. So that helps you a lot, because it gives you, you can tag that to your body, right? As you're describing her, you can feel those times when she said something to you and you were respectful to her and then went and did whatever you were going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the way she is. And there was both love and irritation, but love won out. Like, she's my grandma. That's just the way she is. I can't, right? So that helps you. So the part of the lecture that was on Teachable that we didn't talk about today was getting to her to retire. And so as you become aware of Ruth Ann and all the things that she says to you and all the ways that she's in your ear, it makes it easier to put her in retirement. Because she's still going to show up at family gatherings. She's still going to turn around and eyeball you like, do you need me? Like, I got the answer, do you need me? And it makes it easy for you to go, no, that's okay, and act with love and kindness towards her instead of judgment or trying to kill her. So, yes, I think that totally, I would, and I could, for a while, I would address her by name when you see her show up. And use your bless your heart, because every time that you're able to see that it's just the way she is, it's the way she knows how to be, there's no meanness in it, it's just her person, the more you value your voice instead of hers. The more you can trust your body input instead of hers. Okay? Your body always, 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 always is going to be the truest voice. She is driven by fear, doubt, self-protection. Your body is wants you to survive. So it's not emotion. If you're feeling it in your body, there really is something to pay attention to. Yeah. So, Ruth Ann, nice to meet you, Ruth Ann.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Yeah, okay. So let me ask one other set of questions about how you all would like to communicate in between if you need to. So we could friend each other on Facebook and have private messages. I also use a tool called Slack. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's another, quite more private way to communicate. Or you have my phone number, we could do text. What is your preferred method if you wanted to ask a question in between phone calls? What is your preferred method of the way to communicate?
Either or. I mean, I can add you on Facebook.
Okay. Would it be, well, so do you, I'm a huge Facebook person. Jamie, are you a Facebook person, or is not, that's not your venue?
I am.
Okay. Would you feel more comfortable with a private group as opposed to private messages, or I don't know what your privacy,
I'm open to any of that.
Okay. All right. So before we get back together on Tuesday, for now, if we can find each other on Facebook, you can get that off of my business page, Turning Yourself Inside Out Coaching. I think you can link to me personally there, and I will look at maybe setting up a private group where we could just the three of us could have an ongoing conversation if we needed to in between phone calls. Okay. Tomorrow I will put up the next module and I think we've tentatively agreed that we're going to do the Tuesday calls and the Saturday ones we will not do unless there's something extra that one of you requests to do a Saturday call. So Tuesday night at 6, we'll get back together. And this next module is your weight story. So it starts off with, how did I get to this weight? Like, what is my story? Like, I did Weight Watchers twice. I lost 100 pounds. I gained it back. Every time I start, I'm good for 3 days, and then I'm already thinking about cheating. Like, what are the stories about your weight that you would tell me if we were talking about that? Okay? All right.
Thanks.
Beautiful work. Kudos to both of you for showing up, for being so willing to immerse yourself in this process, and I will see you on Tuesday night.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, girl.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.